The Data Reaper podcast is a companion which provides extra insight into the weekly report found at viciousyndicate.com. Join us for a deeper dive into the numbers to help you improve your Hearthstone game.
Hello and welcome to episode 75 of the Data Reaper podcast. I'm your host, Ridiculous Hat, and joined as always by the validated doomsayer himself, it's Zacho. Zach, how you doing?
How you doing, Hat?
I'm okay. How are you?
We're not doing well. I mean, we're okay. That's for sure.
Yeah, the meta's not in the spot where it wants to be. We're okay.
Yeah.
You're jamming some Civilization. I played some Titanfall 2 today.
I have not played Civ in like 2 months because I've had fun with Hearthstone, but I'm pretty sure that I'm going back to Civ like once I finish some work this weekend. Like next week, until there's a patch or something, it's going to be Civ 6 for me. Yeah.
Yeah. We won't waste much time getting into it, but just as a heads up, listeners, it looks like, well, this upcoming week should have a Data Reaper report, probably an abbreviated one, but there won't be a podcast because we just found out there won't be balance changes until the 25th, Tuesday the 25th, which means we won't really have a whole lot to talk about. So we'll give you an early impressions podcast after those changes go live, but we got a couple weeks to wait.
Got a couple weeks to jam some Civ 6 games. Yeah.
Yeah.
You see, Hat, I always find the positive.
Yes, I just wish the silver lining was inside this game and not the other one, but, you know, maybe it's time for you to play some Battlegrounds.
Maybe it's time to play Wild.
I mean, you have to work on Wild.
Yeah, there will be a Wild report before these balance changes arrive. So, but yeah, 25th is ages from now. Feels like ages from now. Like, I don't know why this is happening, but this is not good.
It's not the timeline that I think anyone wanted, nor the one that anyone expected. I don't know what's going on, but this is atypical in terms of the pace of how the team normally moves. And I would guess that if I was a final designer, I would sit down with the other final designer and figure out what we want to change in about 12 minutes. So I'm guessing the holdup here is not the design team, but rather this seems to be what happened with the Mercenaries launch in the miniset, that maybe there's just a technical limitation here that we're not aware of. I don't really know, but it seems like there was a chance for Alterac to be remembered as an all-time great launch with a couple missteps, and instead I feel like we're a doom in the tombs a little bit. Two decks from the same class, kind of opposite matchup spreads, similar play patterns. Feels awfully familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the report next week might be entertaining for those who want to see what happens when the meta is completely... Like, it's one of the most lopsided metas I can remember. This report, we had, like, a top legend where the meta is developed. Two non-rogue decks with a positive win rate, like Facehunter and Beastroid, are the only decks that had a positive win rate last week, a top legend that weren't rogue. And then by next week, I suspect we're going to only be left with Facehunter as a positive win rate deck. Now, I'm pretty sure that's never happened. I'm not sure that's ever happened where we had just one, almost entirely one class that was winning and while every other class was losing. But that's the situation. Thief Rogue and Poison Rogue, the combination of them together, is just checkmate on the rest of the field. There's no way to target both of these decks. Poison Rogue is extremely powerful. In a vacuum, Poison Rogue is more powerful than Thief Rogue. Poison Rogue also beats Thief Rogue. When you add Vipers into the equation, then it starts to, you know, even things out because people are going to panic and they're going to run Vipers in every deck in order to counter the Poison Rogue. And that's probably going to lower Poison Rogue's win rate, but it's going to increase Thief Rogue's win rate because Viper is terrible against Thief Rogue. So if you're a smart player at Top Legend, what you will do is you will have both Rogue decks built and you will alternate between queuing both of them. Because since you constantly run into the same people, they can look up what you've played and they can tell that, oh, you're Poison Rogue, so I'm going to keep Viper in my opening hand. And what the smart people are going to do, they're going to alternate between Tifrog and Poison Rogue so that you can't really know what it is. And since my Estra is in the is now into the equation, this is another underrated aspect for Q-in. Is like when you used to queue, like last week, you queued into a rogue that was not with a mask, and you knew that was Poison Rogue, right? Because it's not Maestra Thief Rogue, so it has to be Poison Rogue. But now all the Poison Rogues are also masquerading, which means you're never able to tell between Thief and Poison Rogue, which makes the mulligan difficult. It makes your because usually most decks want a mulligan very differently for both matchups. Like if you're playing a Shaman deck, then you mulligan very differently between Thief Rogue and Poison Rogue. If you're playing Paladin, same thing. You kind of want slightly different stuff. If you want to play Warlock, you want slightly kind of different stuff because those two decks require you to do different things. Thief Rogue, you want to survive their early pressure. You want to survive their double agent nose, and you want to try and prolong the game, while against Poison Rogue, it's the exact opposite. You want to mount as much pressure as possible before they go into their cloak, scabs, chain, and there's nothing you can do to stop it. So both of these decks, the combination of them together, makes them unstoppable. But what makes them the same, what's stupid about them, and what makes them overly powerful, is the Null Maestra combination. This one put Poison Rogue over the top, made it just completely busted, and Shadowcraft of Scabs. It's just an absurdly overtuned card.
Surprise! Scabs made a deck better. Surprise!
There's not a single aspect about Shadowcraft of Scabs that's fine. Like, for 7 mana, you have a Vanish. You're developing 2 Jungle Panthers. You get a hero power that's basically like as if you've casted Overgrowth and you now have 2 extra mana forever. But it's better than Overgrowth in a way because you still have that extra mana when you're at turn 10. And then, like, nothing about this card is fine. Like, this is like 15 mana and 7 mana. It just... so oppressive. It just completely invalidates for Poison Rogue. It is like if you nerf, like, the card is very good in Thief Rogue, but in Poison Rogue it's just completely absurd, especially with Cloak. Just invalidates multiple turns of Hearthstone. Poison Rogue in general invalidates the game.
It's just Turtle Rogue with lethality, and that's not something that we want. Or
is it even Turtle Rogue? It's just for me, it's way more offensive than, like, Turtle Mage is stupid. Yeah, we remember that deck. It was stupid, but it wasn't nearly as powerful as this one. And, you know, Turtle Mage actually let you play the game for like 8 turns, right? Before they started to do the Pilgrim stuff.
This is about 4.
This deck just doesn't let you play the game at all.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes you just, like, Cloak on 5, Cloak on 6, Scabs on 7. What is there? What do you even do? You can't even play the game. This deck is so offensive. It's always been offensive. It's just that it wasn't powerful. And now it's just so over-the-top powerful that it materialized into, like, my worst nightmare, having Poison Rogue be the best deck in the format. And I warned before, months ago, 8 months ago, 4 months ago, that if this deck was anywhere near the best deck, the meta would be unbearable, and here we are. I just don't think that it's healthy to design cards like Swine Tusk Shank that require you to play 12 other cards that only work with your weapon, so the entire deck becomes super binary about that one weapon. And then, on top of it, the funny thing is that they can play the weapon and never swing face and still kill you in the late game with Guild Traders and Garrotes. So, like, honestly, their weapon is more of a way for them to draw cards rather than deal damage to you. If they deal damage to you with their weapon, like, the game is over. But if you somehow manage to prevent them from hitting your face with taunts, with freeze effects, with vipers, they can still go into the late game and do Guild Trader stuff and easily OTK you from 30 with, like, it's just Guild Trader, two Garrotes, and a Wicked Stab with a Cutlass trade, and that's like 32 damage on turn 10. 30 damage before turn 10. So what is the counterplay here? This is none. So, Thief Rogue, it's overpowered, okay? The deck is overpowered. It's too good. I actually expect it to be better than Poison Rogue next week just because of the Viper panic. But I can live with Thief Rogue being in the format. I think the deck is okay if it were balanced. I think it would be fine for the game. But Poison Rogue is a deck that's just delete it. Just delete this thing. This isn't even a Hearthstone deck. And the same goes for Mazaki Mage. I've been banging about Mazaki Mage. And I've been heard about this. But I want to say it again. Delete Mazaki Mage. Delete Poison Rogue. Do not delete Poison Rogue without deleting Mozaki Mage, because all that's going to happen if you delete Poison Rogue right now is that Mozaki Mage could potentially be tier 1. And you don't want to take a chance on that happening. Don't take the chance. Actually nerf the deck so that we could actually go back into playing Hearthstone. Because Mozaki Mage is another deck that completely invalidates the game. It doesn't make sense that you're playing against a Mozaki Mage and they play Flow on 3 and you're telling yourself, oh, I have four turns to pressure them before I'm dead to Mozaki. Sometimes it's 3 turns. Sometimes it's 5 turns. But it's just stupid. They play Encounters Flow, Arcane Intellect, Refreshing Spring Water, a Siphon Mana, and that's it. You're dead when Mozaki is drawn. It's just so stupid. Just get rid of these decks. These are leftover decks from the Solitaire meta that we had. You nerfed a lot of the Solitaire decks. That's good. But just get rid of this. And let's go back to playing Hearthstone. Because this isn't Hearthstone. Now, the good news is for players who are not playing a top legend, where the meta is absolutely unbearable, and it's probably going to go into 50% rogues or more, in a top 100 legend, it's already way past 50%. Like, I've seen a lot of game history stats for multiple top legend players, and it's all like 55, 60% rogue, 65% rogues at top 100 legend. Like, it's just completely absurd.
Yeah, I've recorded 93 games since the last podcast, that is top 100-ish. In that range, like, it's fallen down to as low as 150 and as high as 30, and I am at 60% rogue. To be specific, I'm 54 out of 93 games, so 58%.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm also getting more than 50% where I'm playing. It's just unbearable. And I dumpstered on EU because I was trying to build decks that would only beat Poison Rogue until I decided to just uninstall the game because it's, yeah, good luck playing.
I tried to play Face Hunter specifically to beat Poison Rogue. I matched up against one. I had turn 1 Intrepid Initiate Coin Guardian Ogmerchant, turn 2 Doggy Biscuit Attack for 5. I lost that game.
Yeah, because you got Cloak 5, Cloak 6, Scab 7. It's always the same. I don't even need to watch the replay.
Yeah, well, the Gnoll mattered, right? The Gnoll was able to... They were able to dagger and play a zero mana Gnoll, pop the shield off, and go to 18, but the 5-4 state wasn't in play. And then, yeah, cloak, scabs.
And the Gnoll, the addition of Gnoll to the Poison Rogue, just, as you said, it just added... Like, Face Hunter used to be, like, 80-20 against Poison Rogue. Against the Gnoll variant, it's more like 35, maybe even 40. Like, the Poison Rogue definitely has a chance because the early Gnolls, just like in faster matchups, they buy the Poison Rogue enough time to survive. And in the slow matchups, what happens is suddenly the Poison Rogue pressures you with like a 2 Chillwind Yetis on turn 3, and you need to defend yourself against the Chillwind Yetis, right? And you're taking damage from them, and by the time you kill them, oh, they have a 6 attack weapon up, you're dead, it's over. So that's kind of what it does. But yeah, but the other thing, like, nulls are just stupid. Like, it shouldn't be a thing where, like, you design a card that's pretty much built for decks that play Swashburglar and Wand Thief and Reconnaissance. And here we have a deck that just plays Maestra and nulls with tradables. And plays nulls for zero mana without playing a single Thief card. That is broken. That's broken. Really, the situation is unfixable in terms of, you know, genuine deck building and stuff. I mean, I'm watching I've watched a lot of streams yesterday because I was curious what people were doing. And I was watching Wire play like a Shaman deck, a tank up Shaman that runs like Harpy and Armor Vendor and all the defensive cards and double Viper. And I watch him play against a Poison Rogue and he Vipered a Shank and he Vipers another Shank and he macaws of another Viper Battlecry to kill the opponent's Cutlass that in which he buffed with poisons because he destroyed two Shanks or something. And he still died. And I had a game yesterday where I kind of did the same thing. And I also mutinous'd their Guild Trader. And I still lost the game.
Yep. I played against Wire, who was trying Control Warrior. I got Viper Vendored on 4. And I got Bulwarked on 7. And he conceded on 9.
It's just so stupid. The deck is so dumb.
Yeah.
It's one, like, honestly, like, here's what I'm going to say. Evolve Shaman, I would say, was even more broken in terms of win rate across the board and also population and play rate throughout ladder. Because Poison Rogue right now is mostly a top legend. Like, it's not going to be for long, right? It's going to have time to propagate to the rest of ladder. But Poison Rogue is truly prevalent a top legend. And then you look high diamond, it's like 8%, 7%, 6% of the field. So it's not noticeable. Evolve Shaman was everywhere on ladder. So Evolve Shaman drew more negativity and more complaints, or people felt choked out more by Evolve Shaman because it was everywhere. It wasn't just a top legend thing. It was a whole ladder thing. While Poison Rogue is mostly situated a top legend.
Yeah, this is like, it's Evolve Shaman was more like Lunacy Mage, where it was just like two mana Lunacy was a thing that happened anywhere. Anywhere, yeah.
Right, play rate, you know, I always say play rate is everything when it comes to people's complaint and general negativity. You have a deck that doesn't even win that much, but if it's super popular at low ranks of ladder, it's going to be complained about. See Ticketus Warlock, see Quest Warrior.
Yeah. And if you want generalized negativity, go to the Reddit summary of last week's podcast and look for the comments about Pirate Warrior.
Yeah. The thing is, so if you have these decks and they're super popular, even if they don't win that much, they're going to get complained about. Evolve Shaman was also super powerful and super prevalent everywhere on ladder, so it drew negativity from everywhere. Poison Rogue is less visible where most people play, which is why, you know, there's less, like, in Thief Rogue as well. And, like, even the Thief Rogues that, like, bronze and gold and platinum, some of them play, like, nonsense like Contraband Stash and Seraphine and that kind of garbage. So the deck isn't even, like, as good as it could be at these ranks. So people don't notice how powerful it is and don't complain about it as much. But when it comes to, but why is it important that top legend, why is it important that top legend isn't like that for too long? Because most streamers and most content creators play a top legend. And people go into their streams and they watch Brian Kibler and they watch John Bray and they watch Fino queue into an endless amount of rogues. Rogue after rogue after rogue after rogue. And you're going to do that. You're going to have that for the next a week, next 5 days or week or 2 weeks. that's going to have an effect and people will start leaving. Because what's the point of even watching that? Unless you, again, you have scientific curiosity and seeing how people manage a meta that's this broken. But yeah. But honestly, just hot. Dude, disable Cloak. Nobody's going to complain about it. Just disable it for like 10 days so we can actually play the game. If just Thief Rogue, if we had to just deal with Thief Rogue for like 10 days, then maybe we could play Handlock. Maybe we could play Quest Shaman or Boulder Shaman. Maybe we could play Paladin. We could maybe do some stuff. But the combination of the two makes it unbearable. But yeah, just disable Cloak. Please, do something. Or, you know, just do nothing and watch the... Like, it's such a waste. Because the Alterac set is fantastic. It really is. And there were so many, like, just 2 weeks ago, we had so many decks that looked competitively viable. And they would be competitively viable if not for this nonsense. And they're just sitting there, submerged in a sea of Wild Panels and Shadowcrafter Scabs, and they just cannot breathe. And you're just missing out on this window of opportunity to be able to display all of these decks. And instead, you're sitting here in a two-deck meta. It really is a two-deck meta. There really is almost nothing else that actually wins once people play the thing that they're supposed to play to win. And it's just such a waste. I feel like this is such a missed opportunity to really hit a home run here, and instead Alterac Valley will be remembered as the expansion that launched with Solitaire Beginnings, right? They nerfed that, and then Poison Rogue came in rogue and just ruined the game. And you really want to have a good first impression in an expansion, because even if you fix the expansion later on, like 2 months after or 3 months after, by that point, like, it's almost like nobody cares. Everybody just, mostly people play the most games at the beginning of the expansion, and that's what they're going to take, and that's what's going to be the most memorable thing about it. It just, I don't know. If you go on holidays and you know that you're leaving this meta for like 2-3 weeks and you just made a lot of balance changes that are hard, it's hard to predict. It's not going to, nobody's going to, like, I'm not going to, I wanted Flow nerfed in the previous patch, but it's not like people were calling for Poison Rogue to be nerfed back then. Nobody knew that Thief Rogue wasn't even a thing, right? The refined build of Thief Rogue wasn't even a thing when they made the decisions on the balance changes. So nobody could blame them for not being able to see into the future and know that Wild Panels had to be nerfed, right? Nobody's coming in and telling you, hey, you screwed up by not nerfing Wild Panels in the previous patch, because you wouldn't be able to tell. Nobody would have been able to tell.
No, the deck looked like something that Jesse Alexander plays in his stream and gets high ranks with, and then everyone else tries it and doesn't get there, and then we move on.
No, because Jesse didn't land the perfect 30 yet at that point.
Yeah.
There were some cards that he switched around, and up until, like, the double prep build only came to be after the balance changes happened. Like, so there was no way to know that this was going to be a thing or this was going to be super powerful. But still, you're making balance changes. You're going to take like a couple of 3 weeks off. Have a patch window when you come back so you can actually fix something if things went really wrong. And now we're going to sit here and just, yeah, watch this meta get completely demolished. Now, again, I will say this. If you want to climb ladder right now, I can tell you. If you want to climb to legend, it's not that bad, but it is getting bad. Like, for example, upper diamond right now, past 24 hours, Poison Rogue is getting to 8, 9, 10% of the field. It started to be felt more. I expect that to continue to rise further. While Thief Rogue is like 16, 17, 18% at upper diamond. So, lower than that, it's more bearable. But it's getting to the point where you're going to see a lot of rogues on your legend climb. If you're playing top legend, good luck. Now, the thing is, top legend players want to keep playing because they want to get finishes, right?
Because this is the first month of top 50.
Yeah. This is the first month in a while where ladder matters for competitive play. So these players are kind of forced to keep playing and try and get the finishes and go through this meta, which again, it's really bad for in terms of streamers that want to have fun, engaging streams. And those streams are kind of windows into Hearthstone. So even though, you know, situation in bronze is very different or situation in platinum is very different, the window of like the window of the game, the way in which the game gets exposed, it happens at top legend. So the top legend meta psychologically trickles to the rest of the player base when they consume this content. And they see every single person queues into endless amount of rogues and complaining about rogues and experiencing poison rogue games, absurd poison rogue games, where they double viper all of their stuff and the mutinous that they'll guild trader and they still lose. Or they pressure and they try their best to mount something and they get double cloaked into scabs and the game is over. That's not good. But yeah, what did we learn from this, Het? I think what we learned from this is that, again, parasitic designs like Swine Tusk Shank, where you're pretty much forced into a binary strategy that only does one thing well, cannot be allowed to be a good deck. You can't have this be a good deck. This is a deck that needs to be as good as Mill Rogue. Like, right, you're doing, like, you can't have a deck ignore a significant aspect of the game and be extremely successful. Because what it does, it basically invalidates all the aspects of the game that it ignores. And you keep supporting it and giving more tools and more survivability to these kind of strategies, you end up in this situation. Just don't make these decks good. Mozaki Mage, fine if it's like a meme fringe tier 4 deck, but if it's a deck that basically gatekeeps the whole meta and forces every deck to pressure it by turn 6 or lose, that's not okay. And it doesn't even need to do anything. It doesn't need to do any work, draw flow, siphon mana, and a couple of draw. And that's it. Shouldn't be in the game. Shouldn't be in the game in this kind of power level and capacity. And if somebody comes to me and says, Zacko, it's only tier 3. Mozaki Mage is only tier 3. Why are you losing your minds over Mozaki Mage? Let me remind you that I lost my mind over tier 4 Poison Rogue 8 months ago. Let me remind you that I warned people about Gibberling before Arborup came in. And I did multiple. Talk to you about that time where I talked to Hat and told him, you know, Spellmage sucks, but Deco Lunacy is actually broken and could become a big problem in the future. I have a tendency of identifying these things because these things are easily identified in data. And when I see a binary deck like Poison Rogue posting respectable win rates and every expansion and every set and more nerfs come into other strategies, I see this deck slowly creep up and become more and more powerful, then I will note that as a problem. I will be concerned about it. And here we are. So yeah. If you want the good Hearthstone decks, they need to be decks that don't ignore several aspects of the game. They need to care somewhat about the board. They need to care somewhat about the contents of their hand. And you can't have decks that just completely ignore one aspect of the game. Or just focus on this one. Like Evolve Shaman was a board deck. But it was super binary as well because all it did, it had just one play. And that's the entire deck was about one play. And that's also not good. It's not about whether it's board or off board. It's whether it's just this does this one thing repeatedly. If it does the one thing repeatedly so well that puts it at tier 1, then you have a big problem.
Well, in the Dark Moon Evolved Shaman, also, like, you just took 32 from weapons. That was also, like, a little bit much. The general efficiency was just a little bit too high, plus the one thing, of course, was good enough.
Now, why do I keep saying the one thing? Because if you play, if you constantly queue into a tier one deck that constantly beats you doing just one thing, that is probably the most obnoxious thing you can have experience in a card game. Where you're literally sitting there, racking your brain, thinking about the next possible play, while your opponent herders their one thing and beats you with it over and over and over and over. Nothing feels worse than that. And that's what Poison Rogue does. Now, I will say, Poison Rogue is not particularly easy to play, but the deck is so broken that you can literally face roll with it. And when people say, oh, Poison Rogue is not that good at lower ranks, no, it is tier one at every single rank bracket on ladder right now. The Maestro build is absolutely broken. It is the field being different there, more Pyre Warriors or whatever, is irrelevant. The deck is super, super busted. All you need to do with that build is find Null tradables, right? Nulls and tradables, and or Swine Tusk Shank. In some matchups, the Shank is more important. In other matchups, the Nulls are more important. And put your Shank, start putting poisons on it, and draw cards, and swing face. And if you can count 24 damage with Guild Trader and Garrote, by the time you get to the end of your deck, then that's all you need to know to do really well with this deck. There's really, it's not Garrote Rogue complicated pattern of decision making that you can't do well with it. You will absolutely demolish the field with it. But yeah. So the meta's done. It's done. It's GG. I worked on the report this week, and all I saw was GG. I saw the entire field just giving up. Like, the report this week, we don't even have class section write-ups. And we see people wonder, why are there no class section write-ups? It's because I looked at every single class and tried to find solutions, and there are none. And also, since the player base kind of started to give up, right? Top legend, always the problem is the worst there. And, you know, they've been experiencing this meta for a few days now before the report was even out. There is no innovation. You know, you have some people trying things, but, you know, Control Warrior. But Control Warrior is like tier 11. It doesn't work. And it doesn't beat Rogue as much as people think it does. Like, I saw a Reddit thread about, thank you for playing Rogue because Control Warrior is viable again. Or something like that. No, it isn't. No, it isn't.
It has the illusion of viability.
I queued up, okay, for science, I queued up one game of Control Warrior, and I ran into a Thief Rogue, and they were a smart Thief Rogue. What did they do? They saw they were playing against a heavy removal Control Warrior deck, and they just Shadow Step One Thieves. They kept Shadow Stepping One Thief, and they found Ignite and Mask of C'Thun, and that was over. That was it. You know, you... you
who could have seen this coming?
Reconnaissance, like, it's not like it's not consistent. If you Shadow Step One Thief, you're gonna get Ignite eventually. And even if you don't get Ignite, you're gonna get something stupid off of Reconnaissance, like the greediest stuff, like Rattlegore, and just play it on turn 7. And good luck, Warrior. Right? It doesn't work as much as people think it does. In theory, in practice, it doesn't. So, yeah. I'm done, Hat. I'm done. This deck being tier S broke me. It's just over.
And I try and be as positive about Hearthstone as I can, and I loved the first week of post-nerf Alterac. I really liked basically all of Alterac, even when the Stormwind stuff, when the Frumhand stuff was still pretty powerful. I've been enjoying it the whole time. But queuing up this past week and a half-ish in High Legend, I just want to wait for the nerfs. I just don't want to play Standard right now. Zach, I've resorted to playing Classic. I've been playing Classic. And let me tell you, it is extremely refreshing when my opponent's hero portrait is what the cards they're going to play. When the portrait tells me the cards they're going to play, I know in Classic, there's no mask to come off there. And, you know, I've been playing some mid-range combo druid, feeling okay about myself. That's where I'm at right now, just to make sure that my quests are getting cleared. This meta is so close to being so great, and I really, really loved the holiday period where Alterac was developing and Thief Rogue was a good deck, but not the only thing to do, and where Poison Rogue was something that wasn't quite as highly played. But now I just kind of, I'll log in out of habit and play a couple games and then just go, and then just leave.
No, I'm removing the habit. I'm not logging in. I'm done. No, there's no way I'm queuing into. Like, I tried, you know, for research purposes as well. You know, you need to look. If I'm writing a report, I need to play Hearthstone, right? I need to experience things for myself as well, and just get a feel for what's happening. I don't rely it for writing the report because, you know, the data is always the thing that determines the narrative, but I do make sure to play games. And it was so hard this week because it was just unbearable. Unbearable queuing into, like, if you queue into constantly into Poison Rogues, like, it doesn't feel like you're even playing a game.
Yeah. I was about to say I've really enjoyed the games where I've played where neither player's playing a rogue. I was gonna say that earlier today. Then I got yogged twice into eat entire board with no taunts left in my deck. So I don't know. I don't know how great I'm feeling in general right now, but, you know. Hopefully we can get to the point where Yogg is just a routine part of the meta again, but not but that's our biggest problem.
Ramp Druids is trash right now. People are playing it, but it's trash because you get nulled early, then it's just over. You just take 16 from a null. Like, they play double agent null, and it's just like you're dead by turn 6. You don't even have time to ramp. It's just that it's really kind of like, I'm just saddened because 2 weeks ago, we had this report where there was an unprecedented number of decks, and they were all look competitively viable. And basically, when you're wondering why is everything tier 4 now, like at Top Legends, because Poison Rogue is just killing everything. Poison Rogue just has 70-30 matchups into these decks. Because these decks just, like, to beat Poison Rogue, you need insane early pressure by turn 5-6 before they get to cloak into scalps. You need to have, alternatively, you need to run double Viper and have insane armor gain. And sometimes that's not even enough, right? So you can't take damage from the weapon. You need to be at full life, but you also, that's not enough. You need to armor up because they can still 30 to zero you. So the window of opportunity, the tools that are required to do anything against this deck are so obnoxiously specific that there's just no chance. Like, you might as well, like, if I'm playing double Viper and a Mutinous, a Guild Trader, and I don't take a single hit from their weapon because their hero portrait is permanently frozen, or alternatively, I bloom out a Wildpaw Caverns on turn 1, I bloom out a Wildpaw Cavern against a Poison Rogue, and I'm dead on turn 8, then I will not play. There's no chance I'm going to play. If Wildpaw Caverns on turn 1 does not reliably beat this deck, then what happened? They just cloak you so that you can't freeze them, right? Or they null, they value trade your 3/4s with the null, and they get the scabs and it's over.
Yeah. Or they let you freeze them. And then they win anyway, because who cares?
Because who cares? I can still 30 to zero you in the late game. All I need to do is just survive to that point. But yeah, it's just, yeah. I'm trying to think if this is worse than Evolve Shaman. I'm not ready to say that, just because, again, Evolve Shaman, this is as bad.
It's a different kind of problem, but I don't know. I feel about as discouraged to play right now as I can remember in a while.
Yeah, it's just like, and I'm concerned with it because it's going to make people leave. And when people leave, they tend not to come back later on and see the things when they are fixed. Like, right? Because first impression is everything.
Yeah, first impression is everything. We're still talking about 6-set meta in 11 more days. It's not the longest we've ever had to wait. It's nice to know that changes are coming. A week and a half, like, okay, right? It's, we did this for Lunacy Mage. When we figured out 2-mana Lunacy, gonna be a while. After it, when we had a week of that, and we saw there was gonna be another one, it's like, all right, let me do something else for a bit, I'll come back. And I wish they moved faster. We'll get through it, but I don't remember. I have this habit of just going to the client, and there have been a couple times today where I've, like, I've opened the Blizzard launcher, and I've hovered over the play button, and I said, you know what, let me look through my Steam library, and it's been a long time since I've done that. And it makes me sad, because I was so pro-Alterac, I really love a lot of the designs in this set. I was playing Ping Mage for, like, 4 days. And now I just wonder, like, do I want to try and queue up with a non-rogue deck? Do I want to play a mirror match, or would I rather do something else? And the answer is I'd rather do something else.
Like, I saw this idea. It's actually not my idea. People, you don't need to call me smart for that. But I saw it on our Discord as a joke. But it actually makes total sense. I mean, they do that in MOBAs. They disable characters if they're horribly imbalanced and they're bugged. Or there's a bug right now in the game. You know what the bug is? Poison Rogue is tier S. You can consider that a bug that can be hotfixed or encourage a disabling of a card. Cloak of Shadow does not work as intended. It makes Poison Rogue a tier S deck. I'm sure nobody will complain if you just disable that. And we can live with Thief Rogue being overpowered for like 10 days. But if Poison Rogue is not in the format, I can attack Thief Rogue.
I'm soul rending. I'm doing Arcanist Immo. I'm doing Perp Flame. I can do stuff
against Thief Rogue. There's nothing I can do against Poison Rogue other than play Viper Herder and gain a bunch of armor and still lose 50% of the time.
Yeah. And even like the Thief Rogue versus Beast Druid matchups, even right now, Noel is pretty disheartening, but you can kind of get there and you can build these Oracle, Umbral Owl, Frost Saber Matriarch turns and we're like, oh, you bought the board back and it's pretty cool. And those games are interesting. And then other times, you build this crazy board and they're like, all right, you can't do anything for 2 turns because you're a druid, enjoy pressing 2 mana, gain 1 armor, and then they bounce your entire board back and then they kill you.
You know, I always try to be positive about stuff. Yeah, I try. I really do. I'm just wondering, what the hell am I going to do with the next report? I do realize that there are a lot of people who appreciate my doomsday writing. They really like the overdramatic tone about a card game. It is funny. I do that because it's funny. But I just, you know, we did the doomsday report. We did it. We made a meme. It was haha. I'm not sure who's going to laugh next week if I do it again. I have no idea what to do. I leave it blank, really? I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be... it's like watching a... Like there's a car crash and you can't look away. And you kind of want to see the graph just go burr. The rogue go burr. And that might be mildly entertaining, but...
I'm going to take a different approach, Zach. I don't have to write the report, but if we don't have balance changes, we're not going to do a show next week.
Hat, you never... Like, look at what you did to Hat. Like, it's, this guy wants to do a podcast. He's eager to do podcasts. Just give him a chance and he will do a podcast. This is the first time since we started the podcast, the Data Reaper podcast, where Hat tells me, I don't want to do a podcast recording next week if there are no balance changes. This is the very first time I actually see Hat behave in this fashion. You broke Hat. You broke Hat. Like, this guy literally begs to do podcast episodes. Like, give him an excuse, he will do. He goes to the grocery store and he buys a loaf of bread and he wants to start a podcast episode about it. He wants to start
a podcast about the cheese, not about the bread. But so, okay. Okay. But Zach, this is very important. This is a real thing that I believe in. I've been very clear with people. over the years, one of the biggest things that I personally emphasize as part of my brand is relationship with the game and positive mental health, and that when it's not bringing you joy, to get some space from it. And that's what I'm doing right now. I can't send that message to other people if I don't do it myself. And I'm increasing my space with the game a little bit right now because it's not bringing me joy, and I see no way to engage with it in a way that makes me happier, and I don't want to be negative about it because I understand it is what it is right now. I don't think that this is the design team doing a wait and see. I think that there is some kind of issue well outside of their control.
Yeah, I 100%. This is not, by the way, before you like, let me be clear. This is 100% something technical. This is not like Team 5 are not sitting there and saying, oh, maybe it's not urgent, we can wait or something. I'm pretty sure that if they could, they would have released a patch this week. Something prevented them from doing that. Some technical limitation or something that had to do with something else. This is not Team 5 sitting, oh, we don't need to do balance changes right now, it's fine, they'll live with it. I'm pretty sure if they could, they would have done it this week. So It's pretty obvious.
Neither of us are software developers. We don't have the specifics, but they're just, they have acted on less egregious problems than this before in a faster fashion because the window lined up. And we've also seen relatively recently the Mercenaries patch was caused a delay to the mini set. Entirely possible there's some overflow effects from there. I don't know what happened exactly, but I've been very, very clear over the years that when the game is not bringing you joy, to get some space from it, and the only thing you can control is your relationship with the game. And as of right now, I'm going to like the game less if I play it more, and that's doing neither the game nor myself any favors. And I'm capable of spending my time somewhere else and waiting. And when the balance changes come through, I will come right back to Hearthstone, like I always do. And I look forward to that meta. I hope it is very similar to the last week that we had in December. But until then, I'm going to practice what I preach. And I'm going to put on my own Cloak of Shadows and wait for the enemy to go away, and then come back and play some minions. Attack the opponent's face.
Which is great advice, by the way. Which is, by the way, I always joke about it, but Civ 6 is like my secondary game. And whenever Hearthstone becomes unbearable, I just go to play the 6-6. Yeah. And it makes me like Hearthstone more because I don't bang my head against the wall and constantly queue up Hearthstone games, which make me more frustrated if I keep queuing into Poison Rogues.
You need variety in your diet, right? Like you need variety. Yeah.
Sometimes a game will suck. Sometimes this kind of game will suck. And it's not just true in Hearthstone. It's also true for other card games where a meta will be unbearable or sucky for a while.
Any live service game, really.
Live service game like your MOBA or your MMORPG or your whatever, anything like that can suck for a while. And you need to find something else to do with your life so you don't constantly consume the same product even when you don't enjoy it and you begin to hate the game because of it. So that's good advice, and I will follow it through. I will also work on another format, hopefully. You know, Hat, I was thinking.
Oh boy.
I was thinking. We know Quest Warrior is like high toilet cap in standard. What if I have no evidence. I haven't worked on it yet. I don't know. But what if Quest Warrior in Wild is actually not that good? And the reason why it's so powerful there is because Wild players suck at the game.
You're instigating. That's what you're doing.
I am instigating. That was a joke. Wild players, do not cancel me. That was a joke.
I'm curious to see what the Wild results are. I'm going to read it. I might even dip my toe into Wild just because I do want to play Constructed Hearthstone. I've been doing Classic.
But it's not happening this Sunday, by the way. It's probably Wild Report, probably on the 23rd.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
On the 23rd. So we got a little bit of time. And we're going to wait it out. And we will see you and talk to you after the balance changes. But we're going to call it here. Because as of right now, we're in a holding pattern. We're waiting for something to change. So thank you so much for listening. Extra special thanks to our VS Gold, VS Silver Patreon members, everyone who subbed and supported this week especially. Thank you so much, Evil Day, for the podcast transcriptions. We'll have our next one after the balance changes. Not sure when that'll be. And next week's report on the website, if there are no changes, will be a short one. But hopefully the Wild Report will be out afterwards. But it's not this Sunday, but we're planning on next Sunday. Steven Sensei, thank you so much for the intro and outro. And we'll talk to you all after the break.
Yes, but final words, final sentence. I will end the podcast this time with these words. Delete Poison Rogue, delete Musaki Mage, disable Cloak of Shadows. See you guys soon.
The Data Reaper podcast is an official production of Vicious Syndicate. Don't forget to sign up and contribute your game data to improve the quality of the weekly Data Reaper report. Instructions are available on our website, along with lots of other weekly content at viciousyndicate.com. Thank you to all of our patrons and data contributors for proving there's strength in numbers.